to just share some insights into Magid, into the Seder. I'll be using my Haggadah that I have, Baruch Hashem, put out just right before Pesach a year ago. And whatever resonates to people, you can certainly find opportunities to use it. You have to know your particular Seder, your particular crowd, what is appropriate. So we'll try to touch base with a lot of different types of Divrei Torah. There are Mamorim in the back, which again, you know, you can look at your own leisure, but we'll try to focus more on the part one, which is specifically on various sections of Magid. Maybe before I start that, I'll share something on Parshas Metzora, which is this week's Parsha, and that will segue into Pesach. The Torah tells us, beginning of the Parsha, as part of the process of the Taharas HaMetzora, he's to take two birds, two tziparim, and one of them is killed, and then the other one is sent out. It's dipped into the blood of the tzipor that's slaughtered, and then it's sent out. So it's a very interesting, very strange type of a ceremony, halacha, that you do. So Api Drush, Api Remez, something very nice that I saw in the Sefer called Apirion. Apirion was written al Torah by Yoshua Gansvid, who of course wrote Kifah Shulchan Aruch. So it's a Sefer Drush and Chumash. So he explains that the remez is that the tikkun for the Mitzora, who spoke Lashon Hara, has to do with his mouth. And Rashi really quotes that birds chirp, birds make noise. They're mefatpet all the time. And that's why he brings tziparim as part of the Taras HaMetzora. So Shlomo Gansner takes it a step further. He says, the idea of shechting one bird and then setting the other bird free is as follows. Because the tikkun has to be, on the one hand, you have to take the aspect of speech that was improper speech, and you have to kill that, and you have to make sure that that's not how you're going to use your mouth for speaking Lashon Hara and the like. That's the remez of the bird that you're shechting. On the other hand, a person could say, okay, so then don't speak at all. And there's a Gemara that he quotes, that the ma'um nasa shel adam ba'um hazeh yasim asma ki'ilem, a person should not speak. But the Gemara continues and says, yachol av divrei Torah, you might think he shouldn't speak ruchnias, he shouldn't speak divrei Torah. So the Gemara dashes further from the pasuk, the ascetic to the beirun, that no, that Torah, that type of speech is holy speech. So the idea is, it's not enough to kill one bird, as if to say that speech itself is off limits. Just be silent all the time. Rather, you have to take the koach hadivur and to elevate it. And that's the idea of the other tzipor that you're sending out. Al Pnei Asada explains the remnants of that also. But in Yoneinu, just the idea that you are to appreciate that there's a power of words, a gift of speech, and you just have to use it in the right way and not misappropriate it. So I think this is a very nice idea that could very much tie into Pesach. As we all know, there's a remez that's brought, I think, from the Arizal and others, that Pesach, even though it means to skip over, but it can also be brought etymologically, to be broken down into Pesach. Sach is to speak, and Pe is the mouth. And we know that so much in Pesach is about the mouth, and that's the inyan of Sipur, called Marble Saparisa Meshubach. There's an inyan, not just to be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim like we do the rest of the year, to be Mayrech, Lesaper, and all the details, and to expound. That's a special skula that we know on Pesach. So very appropriate that this year Shabbos HaGadol is Mitzora, which is the remez of not to speak inappropriately, but to be able to be Mayrech, Lesaper, and to use our Koach HaDibur in the best way possible. And this is what Kaisa were created for. Amzu Yitzar Tiriti Ilasi Yisaperu. The essence of Kaisa and our purpose in the world is to be able to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And the way that we do it is to be able to proclaim Hashem Echad, for everybody to be inspired and to learn the lessons that we have to teach. So therefore, with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about aspects of Magid. And it's just, again, a very small sample of different Divrei Torah that, again, I have collected over the years and put together in the Haggadah. Okay, so just before I start Magid, maybe a Ha'ara or so within Kiddush and Orchatz, since we're learning also Nusach HaBrachas this year. Within Kiddush, the Nusach HaBrachas, as we know on Sholosh Regalim, And Pesach, of course, is one of the Shalosh Regalim. It's Hashabachar Banu Mikol Am. That's how it begins. That's a contrast to the Nusach Kiddush of Shabbos. How do we begin Yom Shabbos Kiddush? Asher Kiddush Mitzvos Avirat Savanu. What's the difference? How come we say Hashabachar Banu only on Yom Tovim and not on Shabbos? So the Abud Ram, who comments often on Yonim of Brachis and on Fila, he answers that Shabbos preceded Bechiras Yisrael. Because Shabbos was given, as we know, in Mara, which is right after Kriyas Yamsuf. Kai Yisrael were given the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the Bechira Kai Yisrael came with Matan Torah. So therefore we don't begin Shabbos Kiddush with a Shabbachar Banu. Some neschos of Kiddush have it later. Kivanu Vacharta, you'll see it in parentheses. Okay, because of course we also receive Shabbos again with the Aseres HaDibros. But the initial presentation of Mitzvah Shabbos preceded Matan Torah, so we don't begin as Shabbachar Banu. This is what he says, but he doesn't explain L'chera Bishlama Shavuos and Sukkos, so you understand the Mitzvah of the Moed of Shavuos and Sukkos is a derivative of Matan Torah. It came after Matan Torah, with Matan Torah. But what about Lel Pesach? Simple question. The Mitzvah of Chag HaMatzos, many of the mitzvahs already found in Parshas Bo before Kai Yisrael left Mitzrayim and before they were given the Torah. So according to the Abed Ram's answer, we should be saying a Shabbachar Banu, a Leil Pesach at Kiddush. So here you see, I think, an important yesod, that although when it comes to Shabbos, we see that when Shabbos was initially given, the Bechira wasn't complete. It was a transition stage. Kai Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim for the sake of getting the Torah, and that's the ultimate fulfillment of the Bechiras Yisrael as far as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda was, to take us as making us a nation. But L'maisa, at the juncture of Mara, wasn't yet fully manifested. However, apparently, when it comes to the Mitzvah Pesach, which itself is a celebration of Yitzis Mitzrayim, so the very Mitzvah B'Shaita, when it was given, is considered to be a chelek of the Matan Torah. In other words, this is a Shabbachar Banu. So Shabbos, you know, was already on the way to become the Bechira. There was obviously an aspect of Bechira, but the fulfillment of the Bechiras Yisrael vis-a-vis Shabbos didn't come to Matan Torah. So a Shabbachar Banu is not said by Shabbos Kiddush. But when it comes to Pesach, which is the yontif itself of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is an expression of the Bechiras Yisrael of Matan Torah that already is happening at the time that we were given the Mitzvah Pesach. That's Kenira, what you have to say, Pshat in Abud Ram. A halachic issue that is interesting to notice regarding Orchas. So we know that the minig is that we wash our hands before Parchas, based on the halach of Kosher Tibula B'Mashke. So you wash, and we don't usually do it during the year, but we do it Lel Pesach. But we don't make a bracha on Tilas Yadayim. That we do at Rachsa when we do washing for the Suda, for the Matzah. What if a person would, and it's certainly possible, very likely, a person could not realize they're washing and they start making a bracha. So the Minhag Gra is, in fact, to make a bracha at Rachas. But we don't hold this way. So interesting, Shaila, that I quote, what if a person started making the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem at Orchas? Should he finish and rely on the Gra, or should he not? Okay, you could always say on Dei Nechukecha, if you just remembered after Baruch Atah Hashem. Let's say you went further, so Keinu Melech. So what do you do now? Do you finish the bracha and it becomes those who don't hold that the Gra bracha Latala? Do you say fall back on the Gra? So I quoted from Moshe Heinemann in Baltimore, Taka as a Psaka, to me a Chiddush, that even if you said the Shem Hashem, you should not finish the Bracha, because then we Bracha Vatala if you don't know that the Gra. Since our minig is that you don't make a Bracha. So there's a separate Isser, even though the Maisish, you said Shem Shemayim, okay, but you shouldn't finish the Bracha. So I quoted that there are definitely a Chokim in this Psaka. And I bring to the Kaf HaChaim, Im Shachach Uberach B'Netila Zu. So just consider that to be your Netila Shidayim for Hamotzi. let it count for the Suda, just not to be Mesiach Das, and the Sipur and the Magid, all that won't be a Hefzik. That's what one of the sources quoted here. Okay, you should wash again, because there's a Takana to have two times the Tilas Yadayim. So again, I'm not paskining. It shouldn't happen. Not that you're aware that it could happen. It probably won't happen, hopefully. But again, it's a chara, not a simple thing. What do you do at that point? It's a chara, you ask your father if he saw a discussion on this or whatever. It's an interesting question. You know the bracha. You haven't finished it. What do you do now? Yeah?
Would you make another bracha then? If you hold like the Kafa Chaim and you would finish your bracha like the Grav, would you then make another bracha the second time around?
That's what I'm bringing here from the Kafa Chaim, that maybe you should not. You should just rely on that. And then the other, he brings, the same Kafa Chaim brings another sefer, I'm not sure who it is, a sefer that he quotes, that you should make a second time a bracha too. You do a second atila regardless, yeah. That's part of the seder. The question is, if you ended up making a bracha at Orchatz, okay, if you did the whole bracha, then it's also a shaila, do you make a new bracha the second time? If you said half the bracha, do you stop yourself and just leave it, or do you finish? And then if you finish, what do you do the next time? This is a shaila that could come up, yeah.
Can you just finish for Bria Dhamma, Viras Hashem Hashem?
But they didn't wash for it. And you didn't have in mind with your baruch that you're going to... It's sort of similar to the Gemara and Daf Yudei. Munach Lefanav, you're in it. Is it Lefanav? You went to the other room to wash, the same room. But your kavana wasn't on the Hadamah. It's like the Gemara has in Daf Yudei. You pasach Hadaita to say, Yechveza Hagaf, and then you realize it was Sheikha. You're thinking you're going to make a Baruch HaTamtios Yadayim, and then you want to change it to Hadamah. Interesting, another suggestion, but I don't know if that will work. Okay, so let's move on to Magid itself. The Magid in time of the Mishnah and the Gemara did not begin with Halach Ma'anya. It began with Manishtana, which is already mentioned in the Mishnah. Halach Ma'anya was an addition that was added after the Gemara. It was written in Aramaic because that was the vernacular, except for a few words at the end that are in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, Lashana Haba, that they kept in Lashon HaKodesh. Interesting. Interesting remazin that I saw on Halach Ma'anya, because there's two nischos. One is Halach Ma'anya, we're highlighting the matzah by its name, Lechem Oni. The Aramaic equivalent is Lach Ma'anya, and we're highlighting it. And the other girsa is Ke Halach Ma'anya. It's Halach Ma'anya and Ke Halach Ma'anya. There's a Dubna Magid that explains that the two versions depend on the state in which we're in right now, that if we are in a better state, then we're just looking back and saying it's similar to what was then. If we ourselves feel the sense of Golus even now, then it's ha, like we're still in Golus. The remuzin, very interesting remuzin with the words here. Keha, if you go with the Girsa Keha, you have already a remez of Shem Havaya, because it's 26. Keha. We know that the beginning of a new sefer often the Machaber writes of Rashi Tevos that add up to Yudke Bavke, Rashi Tevos 26. So now that this has become the beginning of Magid, it may be also in sync with that idea to start to highlight the Shem Hashem at the beginning of the Haggadah. Also the idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being with us. This is what we recognize as part of what we're doing. This Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He was with us through the Golus. He took us out. The whole purpose of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is to Mishavecha Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Merame is the Shem Hashem in the word Keha. The Girs of Ha, I thought maybe, could be a remez also to the six mitzvahs that we have at the Leil HaSeder. We have the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, where it's equivalent, Vafikoman. We have Matzah, we have Morer, Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Hallel and Dalet Tosa. So maybe the remez of Ha is six for that reason. Another interesting gematria is Lach Ma'anya. If you add up the letters and the gematria, you'll get 210. Okay, a very famous number as well. It's just Mitzrayim, Lach Ma'anya. Okay, just a stunning, interesting remuzin. So the point of Lach Ma'anya is ultimately segueing into Manishtana, but it's highlighting the matzah. The Nitziv explains that B'shas, the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the focus was more on the Karban Pesach, not on the Matzah. And today, we're in Golis, this is when this paragraph was composed, we're highlighting in the beginning of the Seder that the focus for us is going to be the Matzah. We don't have the Karban Pesach, and everything that we're doing is on the Matzah. Lachem Oni, one of the Peshatim is Onim Wavdorim Harbe. We also acknowledge the idea of tzedakah and the koach and tzedakah, and with that we ask for our Kadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us, take us out of Golis, Eretz Yisrael. When is the Kos Sheni poured? So most Haggadahs today that we'll see will tell you to Mose Kos Sheni at Manishtana, which is what you have as Mana Mishnah, that they were Mose Kos Sheni v'kana ben Shoel. In time of the Gemara, time of the Mishnah, there was no Halach Ma'anya, so this is the beginning of Magid. The question is, for us, we're adding Halach Ma'anya now. Do we do the Mesikas HaKos before Halach Ma'anya? So most of us don't. We hold up the Matzah and we don't pour the Kos until Manishtana. The Rambam says in his Haggadah that when Mosek the Kos, Maschal Kos Sheni Va'omer B'Vehilu Yetzon Mitzrayim and Halach Ma'anya. So it seems that the Rambam's Shita is that the entire Magid is meant to be said on the Kos Sheni. Every Kos has its recitation. Kiddush is on the first Kos, benching is on the third, Hallel is on the fourth, and the second Kos, that's the Haggadah. Now, from the Torah, it's mashma not that way. In the Torah, it's mashma, really, the Haggadah is said over Matzah. The Kos really is not for the Magid as much as for the Hallel that we say at the end of Magid. The only thing is that you want to pique the curiosity of the child. So one of the things that we do a few things for that purpose, is to be mosaic the Kos right after, a little bit after Kiddush, and instead of going right away to the meal, we mosaic the Kos. The Kana ben Shoel, the Mishnah says, he's wondering, why are we pouring a second Kos? Usually we go from Kiddush to the meal. So the Kos is only poured as part of that inyan of for the Tinokos to ask. And in which case, the Etzem, the Kos, is not really for the Haggadah per se. But the Rambam, so therefore you don't have to pour it at Halach Ma'anya. It's at the Manishtana point where he's going to start asking questions. There's an afkamina from this question. And that is a Maisa Shahaya, the Rav Shechter quotes that happened by the Rav's father, Moshe Salvechik. If a person could happen, a long time, long stretch of Magid, you knock down your cup, and there's no wine. Meanwhile, by the time you get to the end of Magid, so you didn't say the Haggadah on the same wine, you're going to refill the Kos later on in Magid. But meanwhile, what you said half of Magid on is no longer here. So the Pesach of Moshe Salvechik in line with the Rambam, consistent, you know, Kishitaso, that the Rambam Shita, that the Haggadah is on the Kos Sheni, not just for the Hallel's sake, not just that the Matzah is on the Kos Sheni, the Kos is for the Magid. So therefore, he had the person refill the Kos and go back to Avad Mayinu, and maybe he could skip here and there some paragraphs. You have to know what's considered the most critical part of Magid, but he basically had to repeat Magid over the Kos after he refilled it. Okay. Again, I have a little bit about this in the back also. What exactly is the Magid said on the Kos or on the Matzah? The Inyan of Manishtana, just to emphasize something interesting, we take it for granted, Manishtana, those are the words of Chazal or Koiveya in the Seder Amiras Haggadah. Manishtana, Kana ben Shoel, Manishtana. The Lashon Manishtana, you find in Lashon Chazal, there's a statement in Chazal, Kiddush and Daf Chav Beis, Manishtana, Manishtanu, Delas, and Mezuzah, Mikol, Keom, Shebabayis, by Ritzias, Eben Ivri. So the Lashon is not foreign to Chazal, Manishtana. But over here is a special Kavana, what Chazal had in mind. The idea is that the Inyan of Sipaytzias Mitzrayim, of course, you do it in different ways. You highlight the Matzah, you give the timing of the Mitzvah, you go Mitzchila, Matzcha Bignus, Mitzrayim B'Shevach. There's different aspects of the Magid that Chazal talk about, to be darshening Arami Ovid Avi. But if you wanted to put all of that into one single point, it means that what we're trying to do with all of this is to convey the message that this night is different. That Leil Pesach stands out from every other night of the year. There's a pasuk, Laila Kayom Ya'ir, that typically a night is dark. But if there's one night of the year that we would say has a bechina of yom to it, that's Leil Pesach. That's why you find halos set at night, which whether it's in shul that you have, also people have the minig, the shittas to say halos in shul, but even if not, the halos that we say at the Seder, halos is typically never said by day. There's a certain number of days, Yitzchaz Yamim, in Eretz Yisrael, Chaf Aleph Yom, in Chutz Laretz, and there's one night. So the night of Pesach has a different status. It's a halos. It's a laila that has a din of yom. And therefore, the inyan of Manishtana is really trying to pull out of us that the mitzvah sipur is driving at the point that this night stands apart, is distinct. Its status is like a day. And that would answer why apidiktok we say Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. It's a big question in the grammarians. The word laila, is it Lashon Zachar or Lashon Akeva? You say Mikol HaLeilos, right? So then you should say Ma'anishtana HaLeila HaZos. We say HaLeila HaZeh. So there's a whole tumult about this in the Gra and others. Is Laila Lashon Zachar, Lashon Akeva? But based on what we're saying, it's very meduyik, because the point is Laila might normally be Lashon Akeva, but because Yom is Lashon Zachar, right? Yom HaShavas. Right, we say Yanuchuva, Yanuchuvo. By night, Yanuchuva is Shabbos. Shabbos is Lashon Akeva. Yanuchuvo is the Yom. Yom is Lashon Zachar, Yomim. So Halayla Hazeh, because since the night of Pesach has a Bechin of Yom to it, therefore we're referring to it as Halayla Hazeh. This is all just in terms of understanding the depth of the word Manishtan.
Why is it
because all the rest of the years, the nights are night. And the keva, that's imamishti, that's the word. Halayla Hazeh, this stands out because it's this Halayla Hazeh, and call it the keva. Yeah. Okay. In the answer of these questions, the answer is obviously gradual. I mean, the questions are mentioned, and then Avad HaMayino begins to talk about the story itself, exactly how it responds to specific questions. So it could be some of it is going to come later on with Rabbi Gamliel, or it's just basically trying to show that the night is different because something happened this night, and the answer is not as specific to the particular questions, but obviously something is unique. That's why you have all these shinuyim. So now the answer is in the larger sense, not tailored to the specific shinuyim, but more to the idea that the night is different. So let me tell you why the night's different, because of what happened on this night. So that's where the answer comes in. So we begin with this mascha bignus, mesayim b'shevach, on the physical sense. Rav and Shmuel have a different pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes the Seder of Haggadah, Mishnah Avitzah, mascha bignus, mesayim b'shevach. So according to Shmuel, it refers to Avodah Hayinu. According to Rav, it refers to the paragraph we say a little later on of Mitchila of the Avodah Zara. According to Shmuel, the focus is on the physical aspect of the Gnus and the Shevach. We were slaves, we were redeemed physically. According to Rav, the focus is the Gnus in terms of our drifting spiritually, the Gnus of Ruchnius, and then the Shevach of Kevano Makam Avodasa. So we do both. We do the version of Shmuel and the version of Rav. So the words of Adam Yinafar ben Mitzrayim are actually taken from a pasuk in Chumash. When you have the Parshas Veschanan, the She'elah of the Ben Achacha, so he asks, Hishalch Vincha Ma'edus Vachukim HaMishpatim. So the answer given in the Chumash is Avadim Hayinafar ben Mitzrayim, but Yetzein Hashem Elkein Misham B'yad Chazaka. It doesn't say there Bezroa Netuya, and it goes on with a few more psukim. So we just took some of those words and we put it into the Haggadah as the Seder of Sibritis Mitzrayim. Okay, and then we talk about the fact that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out, we would still be Mishubadim Farbim Mitzrayim, Some explain that Mishubadim means not necessarily physically enslaved. Maybe something would have happened and Paro would have decided, okay, it's better for me to let you go. But we would have been indebted to him, not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way Hashem took us out, the Yod Chazak of Hazar and Tuya, made it that we are Mishubadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The two expressions, Yod Chazak of Hazar and Tuya, have numerous perushim on this, and probably are more than what I collect. But there are two distinct words, two distinct phrases, and what exactly is the difference between them? What is Yod Chazaka? What is Ro'en Netuya? So I'll just give you one or two now, you can look and see what else I bring here. But could be as follows. Yod Chazaka is the Onesh to Mitzrayim, strong hand, the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The extended arm means the protection that Hashem afforded Klal Yisrael. In other words, two things were happening. The Onesh to Mitzrayim and the Atzalah for Klal Yisrael. The Ro'en Netuya is the idea of the net. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are the mistake, like we say later on by Pesach, Al-Shem Shepasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ever since Mitzrayim, Benok was Mitzrayim. He was smiting Mitzrayim, and we were being speared. It wasn't just Makos Bechoros. Chazal tell us that all the Makos that were shown in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was speared. That's what Mishnah says, that there were 10 Nisim that we experienced in Mitzrayim. What were our 10 Nisim? The Mefarshei Mishnah say that we were speared those makos, that whatever the mitzvah suffered, we didn't have. Like it says by some of them explicitly, they had choshech, we had or, and so it was with all the makos. Bnei Yisrael did not experience any of the makos. So that might be one pshat among many of the Zohar and Netuya. Again, you can look and see what else you can suggest. Continues from here to say, we have this mitzvah no matter how much we know, and we have four categories of people. Kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zekenim, kulanu yodim es haTorah. So obviously, there's something here about these four categories. There's chacham, a chacham, a navon, a zaken, and yodim es haTorah. The one that we're probably least familiar with as a technical phrase is yodim es haTorah. We've heard the expressions chachamim, nevonim, zekenim. Kulanu yodim es haTorah. What does that mean exactly? What is this cholik shem la'atzmo? Yodim es haTorah. So a few things that I bring here. The Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo has an interesting suggestion. Later on in the Haggadah by Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, we quote the Mishnah in Brachas, whether there's a mitzvah Zechira Limos HaMashiach. Limos HaMashiach, the Nisim, will be so much greater in magnitude and the piersum than Yitzias Mitzrayim that will dwarf the Nisim and Yitzias Mitzrayim. So maybe the mitzvah Zechira shouldn't apply, and that's the Machokas between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, the Drasha Lahavi Limos HaMashiach, or maybe then there will be no mitzvah Zechira. So Shlomo Vilna says, maybe similar thing here, that when the world will be such that everyone will know the Torah, Yodim Es HaTorah means a remes to the time of the Mashiach, when Kimal Avdir Hashem, Kamayim Yom HaChasim, we all know the Torah, still, there'll be a mitzvah to Misabe Yitzias Mitzrayim even then. That is how he explains it. Okay, there are other suggestions in terms of the various phrases. Some say Yodim Es haTorah is a notion of Nister, Torah HaSod, Yodei Chen. There's Pardes. And it could be that each of these aspects, phrases, are connected, the four aspects of Torah, Shat, Remez, Rosh, and Sod, but certainly Yodim Es haTorah is the most intense, the most intimate. Yodim Es haTorah, we know that the expression Yodei Shemecha is used regarding Birchas haTorah. Kulanu Yodei Shemecha, Kulam Gesarasecha. The Torah is considered Shemos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishem HaShem Ekra, we learn out Birchas haTorah from that pasuk. Havagodi Lo'okeinu. So Yodim Es haTorah is really Yodei Shemecha, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the reference is L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Means more than just telling a story. It means being within the story, being part of the story. To be whole, speaking in learning, you could say, is not just that the content of what I say is something extrinsic. It's not part of me. When I'm involved with something and we're having a conversation, we're speaking within a particular topic, then we're immersed in it. So I think that's the base. The Rav said it as well in his own way. I think some other rayas to it from a Rashi in Parsha Shmos, but the idea is the same. Lesape biyatzias Mitzrayim means that the sipur is that we are engrossed, we're involved. Even the letter base gives it all away. Lesape es means I'm telling a story. Lesape b means we're talking within the story. In fact, my introduction to the Haggadah, I wanted to say that when I'm writing Haggadah, so many Haggadahs are already out. It's like a mispar, what's the point? The answer is because everyone is part of the story. And the way that the Yetzias Mitzrayim impacts every one of us means that we have a chelek, and therefore we have an obligation to the extent that it touches us and impacts on us, and we have what to add to the mechadesh, then mitzvah to write it down and to become impacted by it. So in Mela, that's why there's so many haggadahs, because it's such an important part of what it is to be a yid, is to be able to be connected to this event that exists in Mitzrayim. So this is what it says. Something else I want to add in terms of the Inyan Kol Ma'abel Saper. This is a very dachistic of art, but I think it's emes. I mean that as a pun as well. And that is because how do we end Shkriya Shema? Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzevi Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yosechem Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's what it says in Parsha Shlach. The next bracha starts with the word emes. By night, by day, emes v'yatziv, emes v'emuna. But we append the word emes to Kriya Shema to get the famous number of 248 words. And there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Hashem Elokeichem emes. So we actually, Hashem Elokim emes. So we have the word emes connected to Kriya Shema. But what does it also mean? It means that Yetzias Mitzrayim itself conveys the concept of emes. And if you look at the bracha right afterwards, you see multiple times we acknowledge Hashem with the expression of emes. Emes Elkei Olam Malkeinu. Emes Shatahu Hashem Elkei Avoseinu. Emes Shatahu Adon Lanacha. Emes Atahu Rishon. What are we doing? We're working off of the word emes as a mantra. Recurring word. According to Nusach Sfard, emes Mitzvah Galtanu. So the word emes that we used to end Shema and begin the new bracha keeps coming back again, and this is the bracha by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? That's emes v'yatziv, according to Gemara earlier, in brachas is doraisa because of the mitzvah Tzchiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the idea? Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim so much connected to the word emes? Rashi says in Parshas Va'era that when Hashem appears to Moshe, it says, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem, I appear to the avos, but Shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. The Shem Hashem was not known. I was not known to them with the Shem Yud Kevavke. I appeared to them with Kel Shakai. Rashi explains that with the Avos, I made promises, but I didn't yet fulfill them. I promised them that there would be a Golus Mitzrayim and there'd be a Bias Haaretz. None of that has come to pass. But with you, Hashem says, now I'm going to begin to fulfill what I promised. And this is the beginning of the process. That's written right there in Va'era. So the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being fulfilling his haftacha is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of emes. Emes means he's ma'ames haftachasa. He's omer va'ose. When it's words, it's just words. It's just a promise. When Hashem begins to act on the promise, that's a manifestation of the midah of emes. I want to say that the Inyan Yetzias Mitzrayim is to mefarsem this midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise. And I have a raya from the later paragraph that we have coming up in the Haggadah, Magid. Baruch Shomer Haftachasa Yisrael. So people ask Akasha, you read this sentence. Yeah, of course, everyone promises. You should expect them to keep a promise. So what's the chiddush? So there are different answers that have been given to answer that kasha locally. But really, if you think about it from this perspective, that's the answer. The answer is, of course, everyone should keep their promise. But what we want to mention is our mission at the Leil HaSeder is in order to convey for all to hear, yes, we can depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He keeps his promises. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's need of emes is manifest in the world. And why do we do that? I think we do it because it's what gives us the chizuk to keep going. We are going through the Siddurim for centuries. Kal Yisrael have not yet been redeemed. We've been promised that Hashem will redeem us. But we need to keep that promise in the forefront of our heart and know that it will come to pass. What is it that gives us the ability, the strength, the inspiration to continue to yearn for the Geula? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promises. And what is the paradigm for HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping his promise? It's Yis Mitzrayim. Because look what he did. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and so we got to Eretz Yisrael initially, and we were driven out, we're going to come back. So therefore, I think this is why because the more that a person is able to internalize that belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of emes, that what he promises he fulfills, like we say in the brachas of the Haftorah all the time, Achar lo yashuv reikam ki kel melech neman ata, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shomer after chasam, that is meshubach, because that's what we want to drive home, and that's why we are being able to be marbel esaper, because we, the more that we're ma'ayin and we realize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise, the more that we're able to have the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to do all that he promised as well that we haven't yet seen. Okay. Let's go a little bit further. We have the mice of the five Zakenim. And they were Marbel Esaper, right? However you explain Marbel Esaper, some say it means even beyond this Man HaMitzvah, because the Gemara says that if the mitzvah, even Karban Pesach, expires as Chatzos, which is Shitas of Elas ben Azariah, then you don't have to do Sipur when there's no longer Zman of Matzah, which is totally in Pesach. But here it says that he was part of the five, and he was Marbel Esaper, he was Mesaper till Kriyas Shema Shel Shachris. Okay, so could be that's part of what Marbel Esaper is, he deferred to Rabbi Akiva, or because you can be Marbel Esaper even beyond his Zman HaMitzvah. That's what some explain. The next part is the Mishnah in Brachas. Right? The Mishnah says that Rav Elazar ben Azariah points out that he is Kiven Shiv Mishana, and he has never found, according to some, it means he has never been able to win over the Chachamim to understand that there's a mitzvah Zechira Sisiyasem at night. Till Ben Zoma came along and found a Makar that gave him the ability to be able to make his case of Kol Yimei Chayecha, that there's a mitzvah not just by day but also at night. Why is he magd? And the Chachamim have a different pshat in Kol Yimei Chayecha L'Rosh HaMashiach. Why is he magdim that he says Am Kidei V'Shem Mishan V'Lo Zachisi Shetei Omer? Like, why is that so important? Just talk about the Makar and the Din. I heard this from Rav David Feinstein, a very beautiful thing. The Gemara has in Brachas, we're learning Brachas this year, so we have the famous Gemara in the fourth parak, that there was the whole controversy around the Nesius, where Rabbi Gamliel was, you could say, demoted, because of how he treated Rabbi Yeshua, and they gave Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the chance to be the Nasi. And at the end of the story, they ended up shearing. But Lamaisa, there was two different mahalchim in how each one conducted their nesius, their role as Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel's approach was, as we know, more midas hadin approach. If you didn't deserve, then you can't come into Beis HaMedrash, right? And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was more lenient. Another example, Rabbi Gamliel's approach was, my authority matters. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua had to submit to Rabbi Gamliel's authority. That's how he treated him. So Rabbi David says something very interesting, that the difference also lies in if you have a shita, so do you just impose it on others because it doesn't matter where it comes from. I don't have to prove the source to you. I said it. That's Torah. You must listen. That's Rabbi Gamliel. Since Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a different shita, he didn't have this idea that I'm just going to say it and everyone's going to listen to me because I said it because of my authority. So therefore, he needed to have a makar. He couldn't just say my shita is schira, applies at night, and therefore everything goes and you must listen. He needed to have Ben Zoma to come along and to find a source for it, and then he could bring a discussion based on the chorus. That was what he wanted to say. Okay. And just to add, even though I was Kiven Shiv Mishana, so he could have probably won over by virtue of his appearance. So then if someone has a long white beard, like he did, so if I say something, so then you have to listen to me because I have the authority and listen, why not? But he didn't believe in that. He felt that, let me show you how I know it, and then you could try to agree with me because on its merits. That's what Rabbi wanted to say. I mentioned yesterday from Rav David, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Kineged Bavan Dibur Torah. So he said, you don't give up on anybody. The Mokom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, even by the Rush. The Rush has a place in Hashem's plan. He's Hashem's child. Don't give up on him. Somehow or other, he'll come around. And it all fits within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. That is introduction to Rav Bavanim. I said something interesting about the Rush of Dibur Torah. Kineged Bavanim Dibur Torah. What is an interesting way of speaking? First of all, Kineged. What's Kineged? Well, and what's Dibra Torah? You find here and there such an expression, but what's the Shaykhis to this place over here in Haggadah? Well, Dibra Torah Kineged Yetzahara, right? Rashi and Pashas Kiseitse. Okay? But you also find Amra Torah. Amra Torah, Yom Zakai Val Yom Chayiv. Why Dibra Torah? Why not Amra Torah? What's Kineged? The idea that there are these different paradigms, there are different children, there are different ways of looking at what you see and questioning, coming from a different vantage point, the Chacham from his vantage point, the Rasha from his, the Tam and the Lisho. The Torah obviously is giving us that as a prediction that it's going to happen. Ki Shach Bincha Machar, there's going to be a Machar Lachazman, you're going to have a Ben HaChacham. It's going to be that they're going to be the Ben Arash, they're going to come with their questions. What does that mean? So, if the Torah says that there's going to be such a Metzias in the world of a Sheilas Chacham and a Sheilas Rasha and a Tam, so the Torah is Koveya, that Metzias. The Torah and the world are inseparable. So, what unfolds in history is preordained. The Torah says that there's going to be such a typology of a Chacham, a Rasha, a Tam. So the Torah is speaking Kineged that. And Dibra is the Lashon HaGzeira, not just Stam. Dibra means the Torah is Koveya, Lashon Kasha. So therefore, the Metzius in the world has to unfold according to the preordained Gzeira of the Torah. So the Dibra Torah means the Torah creates that, it's a blueprint of the world, so it creates that reality, so it's Kineged, just like you have a blueprint of a house, so that is matching what's going to be built later on. That's the Kineged. So yeah, Zelu Umazeh. The Torah tells us, it's not just Stam, okay, it's written in the Torah, Shach HaBincha, good, there'll be a Chacham later on. There's a correspondence, that's the Kineged. The Torah says what it says, Dibra Torah, meaning it creates a Metzius for that, therefore to ultimately transpire whenever it happens in the Doros Haboyim. So that's why I think the Lashon is very, very precise. Kineged Dibra Torah, it's a very profound idea, I think, in terms of the way that we think about that Babanim and the way the Torah writes about that. And just take another diuk in the Lashon. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Idei Elisho. So what's the Echad? You say Echad four times? You could say, you can never. Chacham, Rasha, Tam. Kineged HaBavanim. Now dismiss them. I think Abi Derech HaDrush also, the idea is that every aspect of this framework is part of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alluded to by Echad. Echad means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. The fact that you can have a Chacham on the one hand and a Rasha on the other hand and a Tam in the middle, it's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in the world. And ultimately, it serves to bring out the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you see things that seem to challenge what you would imagine to be your expectations. You think everyone has to be the same? No. There's going to always be differences. There's going to be a Chacham, and he has his place. And yes, the Rasha has his place. The Rasha needs to come to his tikkun, hopefully through tshuva, if not through some other way, but it's all part of the Tikkun of the Bria, and the Tam as well. So this is why it says Echad. This Echad is dropping that hint that every one of these children and the Elisha and the Tam, they have a place in Hashem's world, and that's why the emphasis on the word Achad. Okay. Let's see where we can go to here. We have, not much more time, but we'll try to go a bit ahead. After this, we have the other Master B'Gnus M'Sai B'Shevach of Nitzchila of Yevad Zahaya V'Seinu. And that is the spiritual selection of Kar Yisrael, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yaakov being the one to continue the chain, going down to Mitzrayim. And then Baruch Shem after Chasu Yisrael, we spoke about earlier. I think it's Pashup Shat. It's just the idea Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise. That's a simple idea. And the emphasis of Bispin Absarim, I just want to talk a little bit about, just to mention, because we don't realize how important the role it is in the Seder. So there is a mimer in the back. You can definitely look at it. Just on Bispin Absarim, a whole separate mimer. I forget what number it is in the back. Bispin Absarim is Parshas Lech Lecha. We know the story. But there is a tremendous amount of depth to that Bispin Absarim. What exactly is its significance? At first glance, it's Avraham Avinu in a Mar Nevuah with these animals and the birds, and at the end of the day, he's hearing about Golas Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim. But really, it's more than that. And ultimately, back they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. Yadoa Teda, and after that, the Doravia Shuvu Hena. They'll be Eretz Yisrael, the Matnas Haaretz. That was one of the times that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael. But the deeper understanding is what you see in the Haggadah. Because right after Baruch Shem after Chasu Yisrael, which is quotations from Brisbane of Sarim, we have this very beautiful paragraph of Vihisha Amda. And Vihisha Amda, the Pashup Shat in Vihi, if it's a pronoun, the Pashup Shat is, it's the Brisbane of Sarim, the Haftacha that we just spoke about before. So what does that mean? That the Brisbane of Sarim is what we invoke to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu will always be there to save us in every generation from whatever enemies are looking to destroy us. The reason that we're saved is because that Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us as was told Avraham Avinu b'Mispin Absarim. And that's because the Psukim are not just speaking about this particular Golos Mitzrayim, but rather all the Golios. The Gam is Hagoya Sheavod Donanochi doesn't just mean Mitzrayim. The Gam Ema Hashecha Gedol and Ophelis Halab says the Mevish Ema Zubavel Hashecha Zul Yavan Gedola Madai Edom. It's all there. So the Haftacha of Avraham Avinu Bispin Absarim was for all the future generations too. That's why if in the long Tachnun, now we're not saying it in Nisan, but in the long Tachnun we mention to remember the Bispin Absarim. What are we suddenly asking this person to remember? Because of that. Okay, so I'll just end with a very beautiful vart that I saw, and I quote here on Vihisha Amda. Okay, the next section, Seir Umad, I tell everybody, Seir Umad, before Seder night, go through it, because otherwise, you know, there's a lot of drushes here that are very, very important, and you know, there's a lot of diukim. There's a Dayenu, of course, that comes after that, and a Halel, but the Tzeir Umad is an important section of the Haggadah. People usually get, at that point, a little bit exhausted from all the Devei Torah before, but it's part of what Chazal say, to be dashen, using as a springboard to talk about the story through the Psukim of Parshas Bikurim, and dashening phrase by phrase, so those phrases can spawn discussion, and should. So the more that you can get familiar with the actual drashas, and I have what to say on that also, you can look and see. Of course, the dayenus are nice also, but I just want to end with the vod of Vihisha Amda that I think is so apropos to what we have now today in the world. So the basic idea is that there's always enemies out to get us, out to destroy us. And it's not always the most comfortable thought, but then it's comfortable enough because we say Kadosh Baruch Hu Hatzileinu Miyadam. But what does it say? Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. Why are we speaking that? What does it mean? Shelo echad bilvad, not one alone amad aleinu. Just say v'hi she'amda l'abseinu v'lanu she'b'chol dor v'dor amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. So what is this first sentence trying to add? Do you want to emphasize that anti-Semitism has always existed? So it just, and there's always going to be enemies of Klal Yisrael. So that's what it should say. Now, obviously, we noted that there's an Amad Aleinu Chaloseinu and Omdim Aleinu. And it's Omda, that's true. Zeh keneged zeh. But you could still say, Becholder Omdim Aleinu. And he sha'amda, that Hashem is standing up against them. What shelo echad bilvad amad alein? I saw something very, very beautiful in the Haggadah that I quote, Sitzi Yitzchak, someone in Eretz Yisrael. There have been many movements over the centuries that have taken the world by storm. You know, as a belief system, as an ideology. Let's say communism, socialism, Marxism, and there's books and books and books that have been written about the theories behind these particular ideologies, and they've impacted on world history, and many people have become adherents of these beliefs, and we can all, it's expensive that we're exposed to this in terms of the world that we live in. This is part of what happens in the world. There are movements, and there's something called anti-Semitism, which also can take the world by storm. And has existed. But there's a very fundamental difference between the Sinas Yisrael, anti-Jew hatred, anti-Semitism, and movements like these other beliefs, these ideologies. Anti-Semitism is also an ideology, right? The Jews are scapegoats, the Jews are responsible, but here's the difference. When it comes to other ideologies and movements, it starts with one person who has a shita. And that individual, Marx, right? He had a shita about how things should work in economics. And then his shita is niskabel on a large population. And then he has his students and his disciples. Each one might tweak a little bit here, a little bit there. But ultimately, it's all coming from the Rebbe, right? So to speak. It comes from that one individual that spews a certain ideology and espouses it, and then that becomes popularized in its own way through all the various shluchim and you know, doros and doridoros, but ultimately it starts from one person. That's true about every other ideology in the world, except for anti-Semitism. There, it's not that. It's not that one person took on a shita, why the Jews are bad, and therefore they should be destroyed, and everyone tweaks it in their own way, but it both ultimately boils down and traces itself back to one person. Not that way at all. Rather, it's a poison in the world. And Mimela, it's coming because it's in the world, and everyone grabs onto that poison in their way and spins it in their own way. But it's not stemming from one person. That's the word. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu chaloseinu means it's not coming from an echad, from one person who espouses the ideology, like these other examples. But rather, behold, davadar amdim al chaloseinu knows it's out there in the world, and just everyone takes it and runs with it. And what's the raya? The raya is in Tzeil Umad. Because look, we have a shita of Lavan. Lavan, dikesh lakar sakol. Paro was only the scharim. What do you mean? If it's coming from the father Lavan, so why is Paro only the scharim? The answer is because it's not coming from love. It's not coming from one person. It's a force in the world. It's like a toxicity in the world. And therefore, it's going to have these different manifestations because whoever decides to take that and ingest it and inject it and infect the world with it will do it. So that's the yesod that you have over here in the Isha Amdit. So therefore, I guess you could say the real answer is Keshbrach Matzilein Miyadah. We can do what we can do to fight it, to try to diminish it, and probably good idea to try whatever way we could to try to reduce it. But ultimately, it's not going to work just purely on that level, because everyone hates for their own reasons, and we have to do our part to Mekadoshim Shemayim in the world and be Botech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know this is a Haftacha. This be not sorry, Keshbrach Matzilein Miyadah. And we should all draw the right chizuk from the Leil HaSeder, because really, b'nisa nigal, b'nisa nasidim igoyel, There's odos of the Geula that are in the air right now, no question about it. And every Pesach that we go through is bringing us that much closer to bringing that Metzius down into the world. So Geula Klolis, Geula Pratis, everyone in their own way. From the Chassidim tell us that there's a personal Metzius Mitzrayim that everybody goes through, whatever that means, the constraints that we have, Mitzarim. So the breakthroughs that we all can experience. Those who are in Shana Rishona already feel a little bit of a Cheirus, hopefully. Those of us who need the Yeshuas in their own ways, in every way. So wish everybody that. Yes, Chaim.
So does that mean that anti-Semitism is never going to be able to die out because it has no source, unlike other ideologies?
I think ultimately you can't expect us to be able to extinguish the fire, right? Because again, you can have small victories, of course, and individuals, but yeah, it's not something that's rational necessarily. It's just, I don't know how you want to call it. It's some kind of a toxic energy force. But that's the indication is shelo echad bilvad. If it's an ideology, it starts with one person that had was a chacham that decided this, and then it became popularized. It's just not about that. It's a different phenomenon. So she'ol bizochet to have a chag kashe v'sameach. And if anyone has any questions, take a few minutes.